got to run to keep on hiding. I got no words, I forgot to find it. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them get me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider. Rest in peace, Greg Allman. I don't like playing the harp. I bet Greg Allman is somewhere in the throngs of hell, echoing the very same sentiment. Welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. I'm Annie Hardy.
Hello, I'm Aaron Spursky.
Did you forget your last name? I forgot them both.
Yep.
And we're your hosts on this amazing podcast, voted number one in the religion spirituality section, 10 weeks in running. That's not the truth. I just lied.
But we are in the top 10.
No. If you search the word empath, then
we're number nine.
We're like number nine. I got to run to make the top 10. Gotta do it and do it again. I got one more podcast about empaths, but I'm not gonna let them get me, no. Not gonna let them get the Midnight Rider. Do you like the Allman Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
I like mounds.
That's cool. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Allman Joys are like pretty good, but mounds are so much better to me. Not gonna get them almonds, no. I like a mound, all right, yeah. I only know that one song. I mean, I know the other ones, but I detest them, so.
Ramblin' Man is my favorite.
I'm a ramblin' man, made a lot of stops all over the world. That one?
Yeah, he talks about dropping his sperm all over the place.
And in every something-some, I drop my sperm on at least one little girl.
And he has, like, he doesn't know how many kids he has all over, but he loves them anyway, and he's got to go, though. He's got to ramble, and he may just die early because he's a rambling man.
Looks like he did.
He's a gambling rambling man.
He's got a calendar girl.
That was Dickie Betts, though.
Oh.
He's still alive.
Well, I'm sure he's dead in action, Walking Dead robot zombie style. If he's not, come on the show and be our guest.
He's from Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
Dickie might set you straight if you talk to him like that, though.
Suck my dickie, I would say, probably.
You got your dickie stuck in my ascot.
Hey, what happened? Oh, it's detecting feedback.
Oh, fuck.
I told you you were loud.
Okay, I'll sit back. Take it easy.
Step off, man.
I'm going to step off this microphone.
All right, so let's get into it. What have you done now?
This shit is all fucked up.
It's not fucked up. You just pulled it out of there.
You're sitting on it, baby.
I'm sitting on it, but it was fine.
Sit on it.
Pulled on it.
Okay.
Jeez Louise. Excuse us, everyone. We're just keeping it real. Not even going to edit that out, because that's what life is like. We have some full psycho American primitive announcements. It's the new moon. We have some shows coming up from our family of bands.
Yeah, man.
Starcrawlers playing on June 7th. That's 2 days after my birthday.
Very groovy.
At the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles. That's an all-ages show.
Nice.
Then on June 16th, they're playing at the Observatory in Santa Ana with CRX.
Yeah, man.
Nick Valenci from The Strokes' band.
And I hear he gives them about a third of the stage to play on even. That's pretty cool.
Tight. Then the next day, June 17th, at Bottom of the Hill,
Yeah, man.
They're going to have half a stage.
Groovy.
Also with CRX. How come everyone's starting these bands that are just letters now? Kicks, Dicks, CRX?
That's just fucking like the name of a SUV or some sports car.
And then June 29th at the Geffen Contemporary at the Mocha something in downtown LA, Starcrawler's playing again.
Groovy.
Come out. Come on.
But then you're playing a day after my B-Day.
Yes, June 22nd. Me, Annie Hardy, is playing with Aldous Harding at the Echo, 4AD.
That's New Zealand's finest, just signed to 4AD off of the Flying Nun record label. If any of you know who Flying Nun Records are, then you're very hip.
Noise Vagina. And then...
And then the Beachwood Spizzities are playing on June 9th up in Napa with a bunch of groovy bands, the A La La's.
And Wachica.
Wachica, the dude from Girls, Chris Owens.
Ooh.
And that skinny dude from Deer Hunter has his solo thing, Atlas Sound or something. I don't know. It's all these bands.
All this music, all this devil worship will be going down at Wachica.
But then we were supposed to play 2 days before at the chapel in San Francisco, but that got moved up to August 4th.
So. Right. So once again, that's the June 7th Beachwood Spark Show at chapel has been moved to August 4th.
Groovy.
Same place, though.
Yep.
And then we're most excited to announce, maybe, that... we're going to be having a very special Empath of Least Resistance DJ gig at the Ace Hotel in Palm Springs on June 11th.
Just 2 days after Wachica, that's right.
That seems like we're going to be tired.
That's going to be the Empath DJ / musical channel.
It'll be like Band Car meets Empath of Least Resistance.
Yeah.
Meets your mother.
Meets my iPod.
Meets TV.
Oh, yeah, right. Just down the street.
Midnight Rider. All right. Well, today we have a special show for you. Our topic is something near and dear to both of us, which is STDs.
STDs, as they are so prevalent these days.
STDs nuts. But we don't mean...
diseases.
Sexually transmitted diseases, of course. We mean sexually transmitted demons.
Demons, which is similar in some ways to diseases.
Well, yeah, because they give you diseases. A spirit of infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of lust.
And the spirit of affliction.
Sure, I'll go with that one. Spirit of suicide. There's so many different spirit classes.
Yeah.
Spirit of...
if you're afflicted, you know, you could have just about any affliction.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't take much to be afflicted.
Yeah. Dry skin.
Dry pubic bone.
What? Anyway, they do. They jump from one... person to another, to another, to another. And there's usually legions of demons attached to the leader.
Lesions or legions?
Both. But I'm speaking about legions. That's why he says, I am legion.
No, it says, demon, what's your name? And he goes, my name is legion, for there are many of us.
That's right. That's what I meant to say.
Demons always speak in a third person.
They say we.
They say we.
Because they're usually occupying a host, so they include that soul as she's in here with us.
Well, no, I think it's that there's multiple of them inside. So there's like one representative name, such as Legion, which is why I don't trust those anonymous people.
There's also, you know, another kind of vampiric phenomenon with sexually transmitted demons, and that is which something you like to talk about so much, and that is the narcissist.
Oh, the narc. Of course. The narc is a demon. That's what people don't understand.
Mm. Without going too far down that rabbit hole, you know, you can really tap into somebody's key and yank it out and gobble it up for yourself.
Pink sock them.
You certainly can.
Well,
siphon off other people's vital energy units for thine self, so to speak, if that is your intent. Succubus, incubus style.
Succubus and incubus are sleep night demons.
Well, I said style.
Yes, of course. And they are especially, for having sex with humans. In the night, the succubus to get sperm and make a half demon, half human hybrid. And the incubus, I'm not really sure what his purpose is.
He bones the girls, the succubus bones the guys. That's pretty much it.
So pardon me while I burst into flames. You know what that song is?
Nope.
Incubus.
I had a feeling, you know.
Duh.
Yeah. I missed that incubus boat.
You missed it? Where were you?
I was seeing it on television with the sound off and changing the channel as quickly as I could.
How did you know that you didn't like it then?
I could tell by his haircut.
So pardon me while I burst into flames.
And he had plugs.
I had enough of the world and its people's mindless games. I wish I didn't have, a photographic memory for every... What are you doing? She's fine. Leave Gustine alone. He's trying to click at the cat as if that's less disturbing. What is she doing?
She's about to make something broken.
Oh, man. She is not. So I love Gustine.
I'm going to have to lock her out.
No. She just really likes to act up whilst we do the podcast for... some reason. Oh my god, did you know that Incubus has a song called Battlestar Scrolactica? Oh, terrible. Oh man.
Terrible.
What is this song called that I'm singing? I don't know. I don't need to play it, but I just wanted to know how it goes without trying to figure it out myself. Well, forget it then, Incubus. So, STDs. Sexually transmitted demons. Why do you think that over the past 20 years, the world has become, if you know anything about conspiracy theory or about the dark beings that control and run this planet. Gustine, where are you going? Oh my God, I'm sorry. My adorable cat is up to mischief. Oh man. You'll know that what they do is they put, subliminal messages in all of the media, all of the television, all the magazines. If you know how to do that thing, you remember those pictures in the 90s where you blur your eyes and then a 3D vision comes out of the middle of this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, every magazine is the same as that. But it's just, hey man, you're distracting me. She's just laying down like an adorable goose. I think she's suspended in midair. Stop it. No, this is making me so distracted. She's so cute, and that's already so distracting.
Okay. Go on.
So anyway, if you look on the cover of every magazine is a model usually.
Yeah.
And on that model's face
is
the word sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On every magazine?
Why aren't you using your microphone now?
I just figured that I could hear myself on your microphone. Okay, so what you're telling me is that they put it in the makeup, or it's...
No, it's they put it on afterwards.
Oh, right. It's superimposed.
Yeah, it's photoshopped, and it's as if you took and made it almost completely transparent,
mm-hmm.
but it's there.
Right.
And once you know that it's there and you can look for it, you can find it. It's on the cover of every magazine, and it's the word sex. And why would they do that? Why would the movies and TV all be geared to make us so horny? Why is the world run by pornography?
Well, because our base instinct, our sexual impulse is what, everyone has it. It's the strongest thing, our desire to procreate. And Clearly, that mechanism can be used to make anything and everything attractive that they want to market and have us spend our pittance that we slave away to give back to them. You see, that's the whole gimmick right there, is that we are quote-unquote free, but we're giving a certain amount of these pellet units that allow us to have this or that, and then we just hand it right back to the masters. So really, we're just slaving away.
This is a prison planet, after all.
Prison planet.
And what's really imprisoning everyone is groupthink and the unawareness of...
Yes, think for yourself. Don't think about what is popular or what the group...
But people can't even perceive that notion. Like, if people are, like, just that into 3D life, A, they're probably not listening to this podcast unless they do it just to laugh at how psychotic we sound. And B, it's like, those people are so far from the place where you can even perceive, like, the fact that you are involved in groupthink.
You are? Well,
asshole.
That's cool though, but self-reliance. Be self-reliant.
You be self-reliant.
I'm gonna rely on myself from now on. I'm only gonna believe what I think.
But how do you know what? So what you think and what you believe all comes from your parents and society and music and whatever, whatever.
No,
that's not thinking
experience.
For yourself.
No, my personal experience.
But even your personal experience is like very limited,
true.
Don't you think?
True.
There is a universal truth beneath everything that when you take away all your experience, because your experience locks you in this box. But we're like so much more vast than that, and the truth escapes most of us.
The streets were already paved before we got here, so we're forced to walk through the box
and try not to slip, because the streets were just paved in jizz. Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. Motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Well, wait until the middle of a cold dark night, when everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know we're slipping on the gum in the streets of rain. Where's the drums?
It's right here. I was coming on the second verse.
Oh.
Shit.
Thinking of you's working up an appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Well, I got some things to make the spark think night. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky, rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Fuck. What?
Afternoon delight.
Okay, thanks. I knew the words. One of the songs that pushed the Satanist agenda to just get everyone to have sex. The underlying agenda, besides getting all the...
If you're a kid, do you think Afternoon Delight is like some pudding or like, you know, berries and cream? If you're an adult, you know what they're talking about.
They're talking about afternoon intercourse?
Mm-hmm. Making whoopee.
Gross.
During the daytime.
If it was called only that, I would probably never have sex.
But, you know, the dating game said making whoopee, and that was on at dinner time, and the whole family watched it when I was a kid.
Well, thank God I'm younger than you.
And I used to ask my dad and my mom, Mom, Dad, what's whoopee? And they said, oh, you know, it's when everyone makes these weird farting sounds.
Gross. Just another reason that I would never have sex if that's what it was called. I kind of wish that was what it was called. Think about your life right now and take away all the decisions you made in order to or because you had sex or wanted to have sex.
I wouldn't have ever gotten out of bed.
That's not true.
No, it's true. You're right, because I would have gone to school.
You would have stayed in school. I don't know if you didn't stay in school.
I stayed in school.
You did?
I did.
You walked with your graduating class?
I didn't because, well, I did actually. But my graduating class was a graduating class of 14 because I went to a school with a student body of, I think, about 100 maybe at the most.
Wait, so did I. When did you do this?
I did this in, I did it in Pasadena at Pacific Oaks in the year 1925. Something like that.
Oh, did you go to a continuation school?
No, it was a private school. I went to John Muir in public high school for 9th grade, and then 10th and 11th and 12th grade were all done at that Pacific Oaks. It's like Sequoia is the other school, right a block away from it, down in the Arroyo Seco. But Pacific Oaks was started by some freaks in 1970. It was founded, and they were really old by the time I went there, and they couldn't really pay attention to what we were up to, and we were up to no good.
Well, I went to boarding school. I didn't graduate from there, but did you know me and Chorley? Chorles, who was on the show with Ariel.
Chorley, Ariel's girlfriend.
Yes. I didn't want to reduce her to that because she is a musical artist and a director.
Charlotte Harlot, as she's better known as.
Right. So Chorley and I went to the same boarding school. She was a day student.
And you were a boarding student.
Yeah, but it was like a decade apart because she's only like 5 years old. You have such a spirit of silliness tonight. What is that? What's happening?
That's fucking hair. It's a hairball.
Oh my God.
What's the spiritual root of hairballs?
I don't know that there is one.
There's gotta be.
There does. It's probably like the words that are stuck in your throat.
Okay.
So I'm going to read something from this drintimacy.wordpress.com. I want to school you on STDs. No, not sexually transmitted diseases. I'm talking about spiritual STDs, sexually transmitted demons. Did you know that demonic spirits can be transferred to you during sex and or sexual activity? Did you ever notice how people change once they begin to have sex? You probably have taken note of it in a friend or relative in the past, but never equated it to sexual activity. Just think about it. Your cousin Quantica starts dating Bone Thug from the block, and after a couple weeks, you say to her, "Girl, you've changed." Or maybe even in your own life, you took on a new love and your friends and family kept telling you that you had changed, even though you couldn't see the changes. You probably relate to what I'm saying, but probably have always equated such changes just to the new relationship itself and not the reality of STDs, sexually transmitted demons. Every demon has a nature and specific corresponding characteristics. That is why groups of people who have no connection to each other, but that are infested with the same type of demonic spirit, like the narc and the Jezebel spirit, behave in very similar ways. We call them stereotypes, but they are nothing less than familiar spirits that shape the character and personality of those that they influence. That is something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, well, can I just ask a question? Can you go back and try and remember, like, your earliest sexual experiences? I can. And right after...
You can remember mine?
No, mine. Oh, and right after that moment when it's done, I would get this ennui, this kind of existential crisis would settle over me, and I would feel as though a little part of me had died inside.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I almost feel like I can remember that same being true of myself. And then you have sex so many times that, like...
It goes away.
It goes away because you can no longer experience something like that.
Yeah, it's a sensitivity that you have only when you first have it. And it was only the first few times. And then it dimmed and went away. But, you know, it wasn't guilt. It wasn't anything like that. It was like this weird feeling of loss.
That sucks. I hate sex, and I wish I never had it. It's something that chains you to the third dimension.
Totally.
And it makes you very much, it's like, I don't want to say who told us this, but like someone close to us said when they got their period for the first time, they could no longer play make-believe. I don't want to call her out on the podcast.
But right. And in keeping in that line of thought, a lot of the damage that comes to us, whether it be bondage through giving up our dreams because we have, things through sex, obligations to others or whatever.
Especially if you get someone pregnant.
Exactly. And or harm that may come to you through that act by acquiring a sexually transmitted demon / disease / demon, whatever it may be, that then compromises your well-being.
Health and the relationship.
All of it. So in a way, it is very much a portal to destruction, self-destruction, and loss of chi, and loss of innocence, and loss of
genius mind power genius as well. Mind,
yeah. Tesla never, ever...
He never busted a nut.
He never busted a nut, yeah.
No, he didn't fuck a woman, he didn't jerk off, and he sexually transmuted all of that energy into genius mind power.
Yep. And that is called in Tai Chi, or in that Eastern thought, the million-dollar point is when you can, right at the moment of climax, return all of that potential spilled seed back into your system, all of that potential energy, chi, ki, whatever that would go out.
And so it goes jizz.
Yeah, when you don't jizz, and then it all stays in, it builds up and then stays in and is released back into your system. You become more powerful, more vital energy units are now coursing through every cell.
But I feel like today people, there's a lot of sexual dysfunction out there, a lot of erectile dysfunction, a lot of cum dysfunction.
Because there's fucking...
Too much porn.
Too much porn.
Too much masturbation.
And it's available. Everyone is looking at porn on their phones, on their computers, on their TVs, on their big screens. It's inundated.
I believe that it's
when I was a kid... You could see a picture
of a woman drinking milk.
Woman drinking milk.
A projection of two women drinking milk.
Maybe with pasties on their nipples, and that was about as good as it got.
All right,
and
Grandpa.
If you did see a vagina, you didn't see the vagina. You just saw a big bush down there. There was nothing graphic to see except hair.
That's disgusting.
That's how old I am.
68, folks, and still here. What if you were 68? That would be so crazy.
That'd be crazy.
One day maybe you will be.
Maybe I'll make it that far if I'm lucky.
And if you live 1 year past that, you can die at the same age
as Greg Foreman.
Greg Allman.
Allman. The Allman Brothers.
The Allman Joy Brothers. That's what they called themselves when they'd be having a three-way with a lady. I got to come. Keep it inside me. I got a million points of life for the homeless man. I got one more south direction, but I'm not gonna let him get me. No, I'm not gonna let him get the midnight rider. Hi-ya-ya. Is that what they mean? Because at midnight is a common time to have sex. Rest in peace, Greg Allman.
And Dwayne Allman. Just because he's dead don't mean he can't rest in peace, too.
And Chris Cornell.
Although, it happens in threes. Who's going to be next?
No, they have to all die at the same time. And so far, it's been Greg Allman, Chris Cornell, and a guy that, like, is famous for doing something.
No one else. There's another one coming.
There was, like, some guy who was a writer or something.
No, we need another music. It's in music, though.
Oh, okay. Very well, then. Can't it be an actor, too? Well, it must be that time of the year. One of the, what do you even call it?
Who's it going to be? We're taking bets now.
No, let's not.
Let's take bets. I think it's going to be a Rolling Stone.
I think it's going, no. Those guys are friends of the devil, if was one.
Yeah, they're not friends.
They're just like the surviving Beatles.
They're like lieutenants. You mean the fake Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney and Ringo both.
Ringo is the only surviving Beatle.
Yeah, for now anyway. Rest in peace, Greg Allman.
That guy who goes around pretending to be Paul McCartney is one lucky dude.
Yeah. Anyway. Continuing from drintimacy.wordpress.com, when two people have sex, those two people become one, the same way that the physical bodies of the man and woman lock together and become one interlocked unit, so do their soul and spirit bodies. Every human being consists of three distinct bodies: spirit, soul, and flesh, that function in unity with one another as one unit. Each of those bodies operate in a different realm, and each impacts the interactions of your entire human experience. Sexual activity causes two people to connect and become one in all three realms, thus allowing for the transmission of demonic spirits from one person to the other. The same way that sexual activity allows for the transmission of venereal diseases such as chlamydia, herpes, and HIV from one person to another.
Yeah, and you know, when you do have a demon in you, it does suppress all sorts of bodily functions.
It constipates you. Actually, demons do constipate you. I just read that like yesterday.
Yeah, but that girl who had a demon in her, like, you know, she had like scabs and scars.
Emily Rose, she didn't eat for like, the demons wouldn't let her eat for like so many days, and then she died.
And she looked horrible.
She really looked like shit.
She looked like Linda Blair, but without the makeup.
Yeah. You know, she believed that she was like a martyr. She was dying for the many sins of the world or something.
You know,
because she wasn't living in sin in any way. She was a kid.
Well, that makes even more sense then, because when I was a kid, I used to ask my mom about all the evil in the world and how it is that this can all be and go on and go on. And she said, well, there are ascended masters, sages high in the mountains, that all they do is meditate and transmute evil into good to keep the balance in the world.
That reminds me of what your friend Rebecca wrote.
What did she say?
I don't know. You were reading it a minute ago.
Oh, Rebecca Conran, yes.
Yeah. Weren't we going to read it on the show, actually?
Yeah, actually. She's got something good going on here.
She lives in New York, but we think we're going to have her on as a call-in guest.
That would be great.
I hate doing call-in guest stuff, but seeing as she's so far away.
I wouldn't use the word hate.
I don't hate it, but it makes my butt cheeks clench, for sure.
Well, maybe we just need someone righteous to do it, and then it'll be cool. And I think this girl, I think Rebecca's the one to give it a good chance. But
well, Ariel did it before, and he was fine. He was great. You know, he was good.
He was probably better with you with that than it was in his presence, I would imagine.
No, I mean, everything is just a different experience. It was fine.
It's neither here nor there.
I had a great moment when he called in, and I said, hey, Jews. You know, because he was going on a Jews tirade.
So
it's the new moon, and she wrote about
she said the energy of the past few months has had us revealing any hidden agendas or areas of denial within us. There is a feeling of being at a crossroads with multiple choices available to us. We may still feel unable or unclear about what to choose, but this is the new moon in Gemini, by the way. That's why. This is a time of tapping into the clear messages that are being revealed to us. For instance, a healer is someone who experiences the chaos and difficulties of our human evolution and commits to translating the spiritual into the tangible. A healer is not someone who has risen above difficulties to be perfect, free of pain and conflict, but rather one who immerses themselves in the chaos and conflict as a way of creating the vibration of possibility and expansion here on Earth. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage to dive face first into that adversity. And of course, we all need a helping hand, unconditional love and support to get through. Somehow, the support of our teachers comes in packages that don't look or feel the way we thought they may. It can actually be very stressful and scary and push us into change. So the last period of retrogrades and energetic expansion has really ripped off any band-aids we had applied to our wounds in order to let them breathe and truly begin to heal through our awareness. The band-aids we might have been using were drugs or alcohol, maybe working too much, spiritual bypassing, isolation from love, or the opposite, too much obsession with love and sex, using dating and instant gratification as a way to ignore emotional intimacy. So, you know, how do we gain the awareness to understand what is really going on? Well, awareness is complicated. We can be aware that things have affected us in our conditioning and our experience. We can be aware of our issues, but not really know how much so or where the hurt is hiding or how to really access it. So, with that in mind, I would say we look forward to having Rebecca on and, you know, helping us understand these issues.
I think we should have a reading from her like that on every show, because that was so good.
Yeah.
So true as well. I've been feeling all of that. Oh, STDs.
So, in lieu of that right now, how about we have a little reading with your...
Can we finish what I'm reading, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get you to understand is that those changes that take place in your life after you get into a sexual relationship with someone are not a coincidence. They are the direct result of sexually transmitted demons. Have you ever done or said something that you found very uncharacteristic for yourself and thought, where in the world did that come from? This happens as a result of different demonic spirits that you pick up, usually through sex. The unfortunate thing about it is that most people are completely oblivious to the reality of spiritual STDs. And even once they do become aware of them, it is too often too little too late. You may think that you can pick up a sexually transmitted demon and just go to the spiritual free clinic, parenthesis, church, get a dose of spiritual antibiotics, parenthesis, prayer, and go on about your business unaffected by what you've done. But this is not so. Just as there are some sexually transmitted diseases that there are no cure for, there are some ST demons that will stay with you indefinitely. Some venereal diseases cause permanent damage to the body, such as impotence, erectile dysfunction, uterine pain, cervical and prostate cancer, and worst of all, sterility, not being able to produce offspring. ST demons can have the same impact on your destiny and purpose in the spirit realm. I really want you to think about this carefully. We often take sex so frivolously, regarding it as just a physical act, but I assure you that sex is much more spiritual than it is physical, and even if you can't use a condom to prevent the transmission of natural STDs, there is no condom to protect yourself from the transmission of spiritual STDs. Abstinence is the only way, preserving sex for the confines of holy matrimony. Fuck.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Is that what you do?
That's what I've done in the past. I'm not saying, you know.
What past?
My past.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, I don't want to delve too, you know, into that.
Right.
Anyway, you know, my point is that if you do want to have a lasting, loving relationship that has intimacy and sexual loving, what do you call that?
Yes.
Yeah, lovingness. It's probably best to do that with someone you would consider to be a lifelong.
But let's be realistic, because people listening to this show are fucking already. And they're fucking. They've at least fucked once, and they plan to fuck again.
Well, that's because there's this whole agenda.
Whole agenda, indeed.
And you know, you realize the porn industry surpassed in sales the actual legitimate film industry. For the first time ever, just a couple years ago.
Well, everything they do is for porn, basically. This new virtual reality movement thing that's going on.
The internet was developed and has progressed due to the need to disseminate porn and be able to watch it.
The Roku industry is huge because you can download nowhere porn. Ugh. Now, think about the first time you watch porn and how bad it felt, yet good, yet thrilling, but ultimately it wasn't in line with your morals and stuff like that, because it's just not. You're not supposed to sit there and watch two people have sex.
Absolutely. You know,
whether in person or on a video. It's not right, and we're so used to it that we don't regard it as something abnormal when it is. Masturbating is a waste.
It's a mental pedestrian illness. It's a mental illness. It's a disease.
Especially people who are actually addicted to pornography, addicted to masturbation. And guess what? You're making it so it's near impossible to develop real intimacy with someone. As a woman, like, when your boyfriend jerks off and you find his crusty sock.
Ew.
You're like,
with ants all crawling on it.
I've never experienced that, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I've seen it.
Ew.
Wasn't my crusty sock, though.
I can't imagine. You don't seem like the crusty sock making kind.
No.
But that actually made me almost dry heave right now.
Okay. I won't tell you whose crusty sock it was then.
I don't think you should, just because it's, but now I want to know. But you don't have to. You can tell me after the podcast.
222. I did it again.
You're seeing all the angel numbers today.
Every time.
But you know, my friend Marissa told me that the angel numbers are like fallen angel numbers.
Demon numbers.
I would believe that, because you're looking to be soothed by something that isn't the Lord.
I wasn't. I was just checking the time.
Not you. I mean the general you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you.
The royal you.
Royal king you.
Yeah.
Oh.
On that note, why don't we check out what the
what these cards are?
Yeah, what the heart cards have to say.
Heart Carl does.
Last episode we had Teal's cards, and now
we have the John Holland Psychic Tarot for the Heart cards.
Yes.
And whoa, shit!
So much for that.
And they're exploding all over the room.
You gotta handle with care, love. Handle with your heart.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, hey now. Ching-a-ding. These are good, though, because they're the color of green, which is your heart chakra.
Yes, and these are supposed to be reminiscent of the actual tarot. Okay, we got teach, and we got lead.
It's an oracle deck, and it's a 65-card deck.
It's modeled after the tarot, so there's four different colors of cards to
major and minor arcana.
Yeah, whatever. And then there's the book. Will you read from the book?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Here's a card that I'm going to draw for, you know, all of us.
Okay.
You, me, and the listener.
And all the listeners.
So, it is the clarity of belief.
Give me a number.
Number one. That's weird.
You drew number one?
Yeah, I drew number one. Well, and I drew it from the middle of the deck after shuffling.
That is crazy. Actually, no, there's a number zero.
Okay,
so the major arcana is trust, and number one is manifest. So we must be in the minor arcana.
Oh, yeah, we're in the color. Shit, I just moved it, but I think it was the color green.
Yeah, that's cool. Love abounds.
But if it's green,
number one is love abounds.
No. I told you. Here, let me see.
No, I got it.
So
strengthening bonds.
Stop telling me what the different ones are called. So if you pull like a green one, that's the emotions. So that's the like the cups in regular tarot.
Right.
And if you pull a purple card, that's spiritual.
New vitality.
Stop.
Hold on. I'm trying. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
And if you pull a, I don't know, fuck it, a red card, that's like, you know, physical stuff.
Right, right.
That is like, I don't know what that would be, wands, swords. And then red and blue is, I don't know, this is confusing. It's kind of satanic since it is modeled after the tarot. I wish I hadn't missed
strengthening bonds? No?
I don't even remember what it was. No, it was like something about beliefs.
Love abounds?
Can
no.
I please see the book?
Yeah, in a second. clarity of belief.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go. We found it.
I need a cigarette.
The key words are define, communicate, and transformation. Great potential is around you, us, the listeners, to define who we really are at this time in our lives and to determine what our beliefs are regarding love and commitment. Discard any outdated ideas about how a relationship should function and what the proper quote-unquote roles should be. Decide what you need and what you're willing to give. Different relationships will require different strategies for success. You need to be flexible and open-minded. Bring a breath of fresh air to your way of thinking about love and partnerships. When you have gained clarity, gently communicate this to the other people with whom you are in a relationship. People, that could be many.
Like swingers?
It didn't say person, it said people.
For Utah dwellers.
Yeah. Explain how you would like to see the relationship change or grow and exchange ideas on how each of you might alter your behavior to make this happen. Act upon your new insights and transform your relationships. Ships.
Like two ships in the night. Saying, listen, I want to be honest. I want to bring in a third partner.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. I want to have an open relationship. You know, I'm only interested in...
Black women, but I like you a lot.
Women between the ages of 18 and 65.
Now you pull one.
Okay. These are nice. Green and...
And they've got gold. Rims.
Yeah, this is amazing.
These are nice cards. Hey, if you want us to read from your deck of
nurture
cards, hit us up, AnnieHardy@me.com. You could email me. Nurture.
Number 7.
Why does it say it's number 3?
Oh, 3. Sorry. I'm not wearing my glasses.
Nurture. Keywords: cherish, nourish, blossom, abundance, nature, creativity. The nurture card reminds you to tend to the garden.
Yes. I need to see.
You always say that. Yeah. That's weird.
And you're like, what's that garden you're speaking of?
Yeah, that's weird. Relationships must be nourished in order to thrive. Count the abundant blessings of the relationships you have. Find ways to let other people know that you care for them and appreciate them. Good relationships can be taken to new levels of happiness, and faltering relationships can be revived with loving care and attention. Equally, be sure to tend to your relationship with yourself. Nurture your soul by giving yourself the grace to be who you really are, and love yourself for it. Take a few moments every day to connect with the divine. Pull a card from this deck, meditate for 5 minutes, or simply have an attitude of gratitude. Nurture your mind by engaging in activities that stimulate and engage. Use your creativity in some way every day. Everyone has the ability to be creative, whether you paint, write, cook, sew, sing, dance, live. Take care of your body by maintaining your good health or by making it healthy. Relax in a bubble bath, enjoy a good cup of tea, or take a long walk. Connecting with nature will soothe and nourish all aspects of yourself. Remember that nurturing yourself also raises your vibration and sends a signal of love into the universe. If you desire it, the signal will be a beacon that will bring a new and loving relationship to you. The affirmation to go with this card is, I shower all my relationships with loving attention and watch them blossom. Traditional tarot archetype, the Empress. Ooh, that's the card that I always pull before I got pregnant.
Well.
But that is a great card. You know, I think it's too often in life that we quickly grow to take our partner for granted. And, you know, depending on the focus that you have, which for most people in the world is a focus of lack and lacking and looking for what's missing, looking for what's wrong instead of focusing on what's there that's right, because there's always both, you know, and whatever you're set to look for, if you're looking to judge, then you're going to find, you know, the teal swan's tattoo was put on too low or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what good does that thought do you, her, or anyone? It doesn't do any good. And so if you have that same sort of judgmental, like, outlook on life, and you get into a relationship at first when it's new and exciting, you see all the wonderful things and you see this other person as perfect, and then as you get to know them and they reveal themselves to just be a real human being with faults and flaws, just like you, then you begin to resent them, take them for granted, hate them even, and or at least like secretly hate them, and it goes south.
It goes south. You can't take anybody for granted that you want to have a meaningful friendship with, you know.
Right. But we do, and that's what people do.
And that's the thing to be cognizant of, though, really, truly.
I think it helps when you have someone really close to you that you took for granted die suddenly. And then it's like, because before that happens, it's really hard to imagine anyone, like, dying. But once somebody close to you does die, then you can kind of imagine everyone dying and how sad it would be, you know, what their funeral might look like and blah, blah, blah. And you can imagine your own self dying. And that's what I do. And when I have spats with people are acting like hectic towards me, I'm always like, man, if I die tomorrow, this person's going to feel so fucking bad. I hope I do, just so they see what a fucking prick they're being right now.
But that's not a good way.
Not a good way to think either, but no. But so what? Only human.
Yeah, true. But, you know, I think ultimately, you know, it's good to try and catch ourselves if we see ourselves taking our friends or our mates for granted. You know, that's a careful line of awareness that one should not let slip into the vast ocean of
unawareness. But unfortunately, most people don't possess that level of self-awareness to begin with. Like, people who are married, I think especially, just expect that person, that they owe them something. You know, we become so easily, especially women, I'm not hating because I love women, not in a gay, no homo, but like, you know, I love, I mean, to be a
did,
woman.
It's okay.
I don't. I don't.
It's okay, though, if you did.
I'm not dyking today.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow. But
Point is you embrace womanhood.
No, my point is that it's common for women to grow entitled. It's just, I guess maybe it's common for people to, like, grow entitled, like, ah, something bad happened to me. You have to be there for me now. Like, where are you?
Right.
You know, but that's not the truth. That's not, like, reality. Nobody ever has to do anything for anyone. We're all free.
And that's why I think the marriages that remain alive and vibrant are the ones where they don't take each other for granted. They don't, just because they've taken vows, don't assume they're going to be there no matter what, no matter how shitty they are. And, you know, I once had a girl that I was dating say, I just want a roof and a rock over my head.
A rock
on my finger and a roof over my head, excuse me. And, and that was really the essence of it all, was like, you know, it, as long as, like, these basic needs are met.
Emphasis on basic.
Yeah, then, you know, whatever, like, anything goes, essentially. Like, I don't care what you do.
So you just want a ring and a roof, and, like, your husband can anally rape you every night?
Or little boys in the basement, or whatever the fuck, you know? Boy, that is one crinkly fucking
bottle.
Yeah,
sorry, these cheap-ass waters.
Good Lord.
Thanks, Joe. Shout out to Joe
Mental
Cardamom.
Note, use a glass in the future.
Yeah. I guess so.
Mm. With that, though, I would say that the magic time has arrived where we may want to consider
suicide.
Here, there.
So I guess the moral of the story is, you know, there are powers out there, the powers that be, want you to go around flippantly fucking everyone. And don't do it.
Don't let beings like shady fuckers who are carrying all kinds of demons, you know, don't let your guard down and let those things cling. They'll jump from them to you, and shit will start to go most definitely south for you as well.
If you hear someone speaking in third person, know that this is a narc. You know what? I felt moved earlier. I received like a intuition that someone, one of our listeners, needs to hear, which is somebody's wondering about somebody in their life being a narc, and one of these rare, little known, and I never have heard it talked about on narc facts, is that narcs are notorious for breaking everything. So if you got someone on your hands, you're wondering, is this a narc? And they fucking, everything they touch, they break.
Unintentionally, you mean?
Unintentionally.
They're just goobers,
a destructive force. They have, you know,
they come into the house and like everything. It's like a bull in a china shop.
And they break your magic bullet. They break your immersion blender. They break everything.
Right.
That is an arc. So get away from them.
They break your TC Helicon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
One day you'll look to see I've gone, for tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. What does that sound?
It's a clave.
Oh, I was the one, and tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love, I must go. I lose a friend. In the end, you will know. Oh, one day you'll find that I have gone, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Is that really how short that song is?
Mm-hmm. It's a shorty.
Well, shorty. Thanks for listening to Empath of Least Resistance.
Thank you.
We'll be back next Wednesday. Hey, why don't you give us a review in the iTunes podcast store place?
Yeah.
I see we only have one.
Hit like.
Like, subscribe, and tell your friends if you want to have enlightened friends.
Post it on Facebook.
Post it on Twitter. Post it up.
Instagram,
thanks for listening, and spread love, not your butt cheeks. See you next time. Leave me.